Ooh.
I'm going to transfer it back because I actually want this wine.
Yeah, wow. Well, I mean, I was out of wine, so... That's what you get for back-to-back podcasts. We're just in the zone. Wait, Pitch, I need some. I don't even have any. Just a sip. Okay, that's good. Oh, smells like $11.95.
You know what? This is an Italian wine. Why do we never, like talk about the wine we ever
I know.
Drank?
It feels like something we should do, but eh. Okay, go ahead.
Today's wine selection is a 2020... Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a 2023 Italian Pinot Grigio.
Oh, that's been aging for a bit.
It is. It's called Spasso. It is from Norberto shop.
Yep.
Down on Broadway.
Yeah, he's definitely a supportive person.
I think chooses like kind of the best wine. I like this wine just simply because there is a floral flamingo on it.
That's so cute. I didn't even notice that.
We have about, to be totally honest, when we first moved to New York, this was the first bottle of wine I bought us.
Aww.
And I kept the, okay. Pitch. I kept the bottle. It's in the kitchen, so it's exactly the same. I saw it and I
knew. It has our flippers. I'm sorry to cut
I that. Was like, when we decided we were going to record today, I was like, I have to grab that bottle of wine.
Pitch.
I know, isn't it cute?
That's adorable. Okay, I'm coming over for a kiss.
Aww.
To us, drinking the same wine 7 months later.
Aww.
Wow, that means that first wine was only aged like a couple months. Like, this one is really...
I mean, I don't think it matters once it's bottled, but...
Damn, that's a good point.
Anyway, that's the wine we're drinking today. Pinot Grigio, if you're in the mood also for a Pinot Grigio.
Grigio. I like when you do that.
Grigio.
Woo!
Ricotta.
All right, this podcast is over. We got it. I'm just kidding. Like, just beginning.
Well, I think I was just like talking about John Batiste's like one song, Rain Dance. With a
Yeah, by the way, we saw John Batiste at Radio City.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, that was such an amazing concert. Shout out to John. JB.
Who are we dedicating this episode to?
You know...
It can't be John Batiste. I'm sorry.
I feel like we got to dedicate this one to Danny. There's just a maintenance guy at this...
Co-op.
All right. Thank you. Co-op. That has somehow carried in every single piece of heavy furniture that we have ever bought in here. And he somehow was there on the exact moment that I needed him today to carry in our new bed frame. Which, 7 months in, yes, we are transitioning to a non-shitty bed frame. Still affordable, but...
To Danny.
Less shitty. To Danny. Thank you, Danny.
Mm. So, I have the top of cup here.
Top of cup.
Top of cup.
Top of canna.
You are going to be drawing from it.
I would like that. I'm going to put my hand, my full hoof, in the cup.
Gonna bring a little llama hoof back out.
And it's just amazing how many different options there are in here.
I know.
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh, what do we got? You can put it back if it's really ugly.
I'm currently unfolding it.
They can hear. What's it say? Just Copacabana.
Alright, we're gonna just try one more.
I was like,
because we're free to do that, because we have no sponsors. Right. I don't know if sponsors would control. What were you going to say, Paige?
I feel like I knew you were going to put that one back because it's just... I feel like when we're this wine drunk. It's not the time for that one.
Crack a bottle. Make your body waddle.
All
right. We have got...
Sorry, Eminem. I don't know.
We have got a good one. We have got... Oh, that might be a good one.
We actually wrote these. I don't know if you remember that. You can't just, like, fidget through all these.
Wow. I don't even know yet where we're headed with it. Oh, that's the same one I already... All right. You know, it's a one-pull system. We gotta be... It's just a one-pull.
All
right.
That's it. That's
this... You know, it's making me nervous just thinking about this one.
Oh my gosh.
Well, this one is something that doesn't relate to either of us, at least in the first month of dating, you know?
But it does the other, all the other months of dating.
That is true.
So I think we have previously somewhat talked about it, but in a very humorous sense.
Mm.
So this isn't exactly, I would say, like one travel story, but it definitely is, I think, something that has really become a top of a excuse me.
You got this.
Or a lot of glass of wine, I think. A topic of conversation quite a bit. And it's actually, I think, a lot of consideration when we do plan our trips as well. Because we have done, you know, very compact trips where... Okay, well, first of all, the topic is flight anxiety.
Yes.
Leaving people really hanging there.
Yeah.
So it is something that I think we... I really have to take into consideration, I think, sometimes when we do planning, because with the smaller flights, there's so many, there can be layovers, so it's a lot of touchdowns, a lot of takeoffs, and takeoff, I will say, is, like, the worst part for me.
Well, me too. I just want to say, if you're a bird, I'm a bird, and unfortunately, we end up being ostriches, and ostriches uniquely don't fly. Although I have a theory that they do fly. And I think it's just when humans are not looking.
It's incognito.
Yeah. I think that they're so cool that they just don't want to be seen that they fly.
Cool.
They're like, yeah, we're just stoically on the ground. You never know, though. I mean, maybe when we're asleep, when we blink, it could take off. But we are the flying ostriches, and there's a lot of meanings to that. I think some of it is that even though we are afraid, we still get into... them tubes, as they say.
I just talked about that in the last episode, actually, that, like, even though, you know, there are things that it's a pretty big common theme for me when there are things that do scare me, I really do intentionally try to go out of my way. But
yeah,
there's really
there's
no, like, other options, especially I feel like in the US, other than flying. Like, I feel like we got used to road tripping, but I feel like that's not, like, a very good way of doing it, and I feel like we just got to the New England area, so we do have the option for the Amtrak and other trains.
Hmm.
But like, if we still want to get across the country, like, we still have to take a flight.
Yeah.
So it is something that, like, I'm like, no, we got to take it. Like, I feel like it's better when I'm consistently flying. Like, if every couple months I have a flight, I feel like I feel a lot better, because I feel like we took a big break between, I don't even remember, but it was the trip before Brazil.
Hmm.
I feel like, I don't remember the trip before. It must have been Europe.
Did you hear that, employers? Yeah, we can't handle just 2 weeks off a year, or even three. We're going to need time off at least once a month, because we need to travel in order
to
make sure we don't get flight anxiety at least every other week, I think would really help.
Ideally, yeah.
I think it's with anything. Yeah, I think the more that we're used to it, kind of comfortable with, like, yep, this is in some ways the safest mode of transport, as they say. But
it is, though.
It's the least amount of control that I feel like we typically have in a day. And I feel like that is also some of what I've realized with flight anxiety, is actually just accepting it and honoring it. Like, yep, it makes sense to be afraid, because we're literally just two ostriches in the sky.
You know what pisses me off, though?
Yes, go ahead. It's starting to get good. Let me take a sip.
Is when you're in the tube and everybody is just focused on their own thing. They're just, like, you know, they're reading, they're, you know, watching Bluey on the TV.
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Titanic, they're, you know, playing that little ice. My mom played that the whole trip. She loved that little I Spy game in the Delta flight. She did, like, the, you know, she's only an inch from the screen looking for the little magnifying glass.
Definitely.
Anyway,
good way
but
to
there's,
do it.
Like, always, like, everyone on the plane, I swear, seems fine.
Hmm.
But it always feels like I'm, like, looking around at everyone. And I'm like, is anyone else, like, concerned about that sound? Does anyone else feel, like, that drop in pressure? And I'm checking on the flight attendants. Like, do they seem concerned? Like,
because
I feel like that's always my optus, to always, like, kind of look to the flight attendants. Like, their face is probably going to tell me if, like, I need to be ripping an oxygen mask out of this the ceiling.
Right. They actually fall to you, pinch? Like, if you ever need
If
them.
I'm desperate, I will rip it out of the ceiling.
Oh, okay. Good to know that. I feel like everyone is trying to distract themselves. I mean, in some way, we're all in the same boat.
That's what it seems like, but I call bullshit. Everybody seems fine except for me.
Well, I'm definitely not fine. And I think I, you know, revealed that after a couple months of dating and, you know, we started to travel pretty often, that it is definitely nerve-wracking. I think two of the things that if Spirit Airlines or any other airlines is listening to this, that you might want to take note of. One, why does your plane, the landing and the, you know, like, takeoff gear sound like you're cutting down a tree when it comes out? Keep going, bitch. If you want to.
I read up on it.
That's not okay.
And it's supposed to be like an energy transfer.
Yeah, energy transfer.
It sounds like dogs are barking, like, once we land. Like, yeah. They're excited to see us at the airport.
We did not pay $64 for that, okay? I mean, that is a good deal, actually, if that was our flight price. Secondly, if you are a pilot and you are listening to this, please do not come over the loudspeaker after a long pause of not talking and abruptly voice something intensely that is not intense. Like, everything is fine. I just want to make sure you know that everything is fine on the flight. And we have to wake up, knock the drool off of our mouths and be like, oh my God, oh no, the pilot's telling us that everything's fine. Their tone is just off. That is terrifying.
I'm so mad at Play Airlines for that. Because
Play.
We were on our way back from Iceland. This is a fairly recent trip. On our way back from Iceland to Stewart, New York Airport. Nobody fucking knows what that airport is. Anyway, we were on our way back. You are
about that. Put Stewart on the map.
I'm not mad at Stewart, but it's like coming off that I am.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, who I'm mad at is the pilot of that airline, because we were, I think, like a good hour and a half into the flight. And I think people were just falling asleep. Like, we're tired. It was like a mid-afternoon flight, I think at like 3 or 4 p.m. And we were going to land, I think, at like 7 or something. So, like, I think everyone's getting their afternoon nap in, and I swear everybody was starting to fall asleep. Everybody was calm, quiet, handled. And the freaking pilot comes over, and he's like, we just want to let you know that we're 8,000 feet over the earth right now on our way to Stewart, New York Airport. I am your pilot. Like, we're an hour and a half in, sir. I have already granted the trust with you. We do not need to review our flight pattern and the weather on New York.
Yeah.
Anyway, and they literally said, if you need, there are eye masks available. Like, you did not just wake the entire plane up to tell us that you have eye masks available. Like, I'm sorry.
I agree.
God,
I agree.
That was unnecessary as a pilot.
Yeah, you know, the flight overall, pretty smooth, but that was not smooth. And
ridiculous.
There's just little things that I feel like, you know, the flight crew can help with. And that goes the opposite direction. Like, come on. It's already terrifying. We're up there. Part of the experience for me, there's always a point, and I don't know if you get there, but I do appreciate for a few moments when it's not turbulent, when there's not, what do we call it again? Air that is non-regulated. When there's rough air, I do appreciate...
Oh, non-compliant
air. Non-compliant air, thank you. I do appreciate, you know, some of the joy of flying. I mean, it is honestly, a special experience to be in the sky. If it's smooth.
That's a big deal.
And when it's not, you know what? We've designed our own solution to the problem. Because Pidge and I don't just accept... shitty flight anxiety all the time. I mean, of course it still happens, but with our Flying Ostriches flight anxiety kits, I feel like we've made a dent.
It did make that one flight very funny that we decided to actually take the kit on. It did make it funny. So I don't know if you've seen the travel kit, but I have. Well, I know, but I'm directing this to the audience.
Oh, I'm sorry. I responded without even, like, I just jumped in there.
I know.
I've seen them.
I know. A few glasses of wine are okay.
Oh.
So the flight anxiety kit includes...
a few glasses of wine. We're okay.
It's been a minute since...
This is the Wingin' It Wine Drunk podcast?
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing. We're swinging it. So hopefully not what the pilots are doing.
What is the... No. I, no.
Remember that one pilot that was late because they got a haircut and they wouldn't admit it? They were like, yeah, my Uber was
isn't
late.
That? He was like English.
And
he had the best haircut I've ever seen.
It was a great haircut.
You can just be honest.
Yeah,
like,
just
I
own up
it.
To it.
Like,
sideburns were
you
just...
You needed to get the blowout. I got it. So anyway, the travel kit includes...
Oh my goodness. Hitch, is that your funny bone or your elbow?
Well, I'm not laughing, am I?
Oh my gosh.
So anyway, I'm trying to remember what's
going on. I know. Okay. I was building up the suspense.
Okay, well, first of all, I know there's a picture of the ground in it. And if you don't
think
that's funny, turn the podcast off. That's fucking hilarious.
A lot of people just turn the podcast off.
I don't care.
Yeah,
we
are ready to lose you as our fan if you don't understand that.
If you, like, open it up and there's a picture of, like, a pixelated ground.
Yeah, it wasn't even clear.
It wasn't. I just thought it was funny, though.
It's got my teeth. Got my teeth with the wine glass.
Yeah,
that was good. What
funny.
Else do we have in there? Whoopee cushion.
The whoopee cushion, which we used so that when you hit turbulence and if you're holding it and it's full, no. Okay, so when we had tested this whole travel kit on the flight, it was, mind you, like a 9:30 a.m. flight from DTW to Vegas.
Yeah.
Not one person had the power to turn around as I used the whoopee cushion.
No one did. What would you say? That was a nice little toot you just did?
I could have said something like, is that a whoopee cushion?
It was gold.
They just think that we were gassy birds on this plane.
Which technically we were. It was just one of those
always.
Silent but deadly kind of flights, you know? With that gas! Another part of it was I should have driven. Is it I should have driven or I should have drove?
Drove. It was less words.
Drove.
Less letters I had to write.
Right, that's true. I should have drove was on our little eye mask. I think that's fine.
That's gold.
There's a few places you can't drove, but you can drive there.
Well, I should have drove. And I think that's, for anyone that's trying to, like, if you're, I think, yeah, it was less letters, okay? I didn't want to write as many letters at the marker.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It was only so big of an
same
eye mask.
Meaning, you know?
Yeah, people get it. It's
yeah.
Just, anyway, I don't remember what else was in that.
Yeah, who cares?
But
just a couple other things.
I think chapstick?
Yeah, just randomly.
Or sticker.
What else was in there?
What else was in that travel kit?
It's like a mystery flight anxiety kit.
It's on Etsy.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That sounds like something that people might actually buy.
I mean, one person bought that one.
That is true.
That's the one that...
And they paid more for shipping than they did for the kit, which is really... It's just... You know, that's how the world is right now. The handling. It's the shipping and handling. The handling, to me, just doesn't make sense.
Nobody actually knows what the handling
is. Yeah, who
is.
Needs it to be handled? I just want it to be shipped.
You know what's funny is I type in, like, our flying ostriches in the Etsy, and the other two travel kits show up.
Ah, shit.
The flying anxiety one doesn't.
Really?
Well, I mean, it does it when you, like, go to the, like, our store and actually look. Okay, so I have a picture.
Oh, we have
oh
deodorant.
Oh, my God, deodorant.
It's my mom's deodorant, yeah.
That's,
I mean, not her actual deodorant, but the one she made.
The deodorant.
Mini deodorant.
I almost forgot about that because that was so funny.
Yeah.
Because everyone's sweating when
you're
stressed. Yeah,
you definitely need that.
And an anxiety kit.
Yep. And
that
was the mystery item?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to reveal what that
can't,
was.
Can't reveal that. But yeah, I think that's just so funny. Like, that is a gold kit.
It is. I would pay $17.99 for that, plus shipping, no handling.
Is it $17.99?
I don't know.
Did you put that on, like, a permanent sale?
No. I could, because we've only sold, well, I think we've sold, like, 5 of them, actually.
They did well at the show. We did a show.
Yeah, we did a show.
For all of our travel kits.
We were dressed as ostriches. We had picture books of all of our travels, which, you know, everyone wants to look at, just sort of random pictures of us.
They're like, oh, don't you have an Instagram? Or like, Instagram, blog, look at our faces. We're desperate.
And what was so cool is that I remember the first item that, you know, we sold to someone, I was kind of in shock. I was like, wow, so you're going to give us real money for, like, this thing that we created? And they were like,
out of a joke.
Yeah.
Like, the flight anxiety kit, I remember we were in New York, actually. We were traveling here last year.
Mm.
And we were, I think, just laughing because we were coming up with the most ridiculous things we could put in this flight anxiety kit.
That's a perfect kit, actually, in my opinion.
To try to, like, distract other people with flight anxiety.
I feel like what's interesting to me is that making travel ridiculously more special and fun does affect the amount of flight anxiety that I mm-hmm. have. Because I feel like that kit is not just funny, but it works. It doesn't eliminate it completely. That's not really
it our... It did distract
we don't
me
promise that.
For 21 minutes.
21 minutes of distraction is pretty good for $17.94.
I don't know how much it is.
I'm lowering the price every time I talk about it. It was a fair deal.
It's good.
It's on our Etsy.
You know, there's like one last... like thing which I've actually told someone else on a plane next to me that which is just at this point it's kind of funny because I've had a doctor next to me witnessing a panic attack and they're like I like on a plane I'm like you know moving I'm rubbing my leg like I'm doing it all and they literally said that they're like you might want to talk to your doctor about getting anxiety meds for your flights, which just seems funny because in also other instances when someone else was having flight anxiety panic attack next to me, I have entirely gone into support role to help them through it.
That is really beautiful. Maybe I should panic more and then it, you know, it would balance us. Like
that
you
could
would
work.
Okay. I could try that.
I mean, but I've used all my support things on you already. Like I've already talked about, I think like the Jell-O theory. That's like the one of the better ones for getting through turbulence because I know that's like the biggest pain point for some people. But if you think about the Jell-O, like they're not... You're not just gonna, like, there's pressure pushing you up as much as there is down.
That is true. Planes are built to fly.
They are built. I love that saying by you. I'm sorry. Uh-oh. I got very. Like,
that's a quote, actually, from me. Planes are built to fly.
They're built to fly. So, like, once, you know, once they're up, they're up.
Yeah. And once they're down, they're on the ground and safe. The thing that I want to know, Paige, is, you know, we have this whole sticker collection that no one gives a fuck about, because, except for us. And one of them says, it's rough air, but no one's pulling my hair.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to, like, shed some light on, you know, where this wisdom came from?
Listen, rough air...
I am
no,
listening.
Rough air, but no one is pulling my hair is hilarious.
It's an anthem.
That's funny.
I feel like Spirit Airlines would be up for that. Maybe Play Airlines? You know, like
maybe
they get
Play
it.
Airlines. You gotta have it like a very, you gotta have a sense of humor with that because that's very funny. I don't know how that came to me, but I just remember it rhymed. I think I was folding laundry or something. As my best creativity comes is when I'm folding laundry.
Damn.
And I was like,
that's kinda nice.
That's it. That is what we have to, that's one of the stickers. And thankfully that made it into the final round.
Oh yeah, easily. Top four. Wait, top three.
I think we only have three. So
we have three, so top three.
That one is one of my favorites, though.
It is solid. I mean, I couldn't come up with anything even close to that, so.
Well, no, you did.
Yeah, well, you know,
you
inspired
did. We have,
by
we have other stickers.
We have, how many do we do? Three?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, we're not trying to sell any stickers or travel kits on this podcast, let's be real. Although it would be nice.
And it's available on our Etsy page. Flying ostriches.
That would be pretty supportive if someone, you know.
Anyway. Because they won't be restocked. That's the funny thing.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, these are like signature.
Limited dish. Limited edition.
Wow. And, you know, flight anxiety, this is a topic that I think we're going to have to share some ongoing reflections because it is definitely something that we keep learning about more and more of just how to be there for ourselves, how to be there for each other. I remember I had to do this flight without Pigeon, and, you know, I just really missed the full, like, back rub, head massage, like, support role that I get the chance to be in for at least 14 to 16-hour flights that we've taken together. And I just looked at the person next to me, and they were just like, no, I'm good. Like, you know. And I just, you know, was like, oh, like, I wish I was flying with Pidge.
You were like, can I give you a head massage and we can watch a Bluey episode?
Yeah, it's just, you know, I think we get through it together. Mm-hmm. And then it's worth it because we get to wherever we're getting to. And then at some point we got to get back from there. And those are my least favorite flights. I like the flights that are going.
Oh,
there.
Always.
That's really
I think
fun.
The flights home are frustrating, especially when they're delayed.
And when they say something like, flying from Paris to Romulus, Michigan, why would we want to go back from Paris? You know, I love Detroit, but why would we want to board a little tube and have all this turbulence and just to get back to the US of A?
You have truly had, I think, some of the most intense flights too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And you have surprisingly still got on other flights.
Yeah.
Like your infamous Portugal story of a flight is shocking that you ended up like saying like, yep, let me get on another flight. That was okay. But I mean, I feel like you've always said like, you know, if that flight was successful, I feel like
I have always said that. No, here's the thing to me is that, you know, when you first start dating, this is kind of some advice out to our, I don't like to give advice, but this is just something I've realized. It's a good thing, you know, up front to discuss in what way, you know, have you thought about you might, you know, like it might. And for me, I remember telling you, like, yeah, I felt like I had this weird feeling, like, I'm just going to die on a flight someday.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying. And then you were like, oh, like, I feel like, you know, that would happen to me when I sneeze while I'm driving. And I was like, that's perfect because they're not the same, right? So that gave me a lot of confidence that we got to fly everywhere together. Because I feel safe. I'm just saying. Does that not make sense? That's how I think of things.
I wouldn't really need to rationalize it to yourself. I just didn't know that's why you're like, I'm okay flying as long as I'm with Pidge because she's going to die driving on the road. We're good.
Yeah,
when
but
she
however,
sneezes,
if
when
we,
she sneezes driving.
Yeah, right. I know you got to think about that's got to be the both
it's,
and.
It's
but if I'm there, you know,
we
so
can.
Driving and flying, I think we just like, you know, support each other's aliveness. To be there with each other.
And I sold my car.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we don't even drive anymore.
Perfect.
That's why we're here in New York. We're not afraid, but we're liberated from having to drive places. And Pidge hasn't sneezed in at least 3.5 days.
Give it time.
I get nervous every time you sneeze.
We're not in a car.
Yeah, that's true. That's funny. I wish I had a combo. Like, I had to, like, shit myself while flying. That would be the way, you know, like...
Haven't you gotten close with that?
Well, tune in next week to our next podcast. We're out of wine, and honestly, that's a story for another day.
Got it. Cheers.
Cheersies.